All right, good afternoon. You're here with Bike Sport Radio, 12 noon, July 13th at killradio.org. Our phone number is 213-252-0998. I'm Brad House. This is the show for bike racing. You're here featuring the sport of competitive cycling, where we talk about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. We had a lot of racing going on these last few weekends. We're going to go over some results from Junior National Track Championships as well as Masters National Road Championships. And we've got an in-studio guest today, Rick Scott of Great Scott Productions. We'll be going to him later. Let's head on to our Junior National Track Championships results.
USA Cycling's Junior National Track Championships were held at the Velodrome, the L.A. Velodrome in Carson, California. In the 500-meter time trial, this was on July 5th, your junior women's 15-16 new champion, Christine Barron, with a time of 37.996. Junior men's 15-16 500-meter time trial, new champion, with a time of 36.025. Corey Williams from Major Motion. In the Junior Madison, your new national champions, Now MS Society's Kit Carson and South Bay Wheelman's Danny Healy. That's the Junior's Madison. In the overall Junior Omnium, this is for juniors 15 to 16, the men's new champion, Alliance Environments, Matthew Baranowski. The junior women's 15-16 new champion, Home Depot Center's Christine Barron. The junior points race, junior champion in the women's 17-18, Kendall Ryan. In the team pursuit, your new junior team champion is Team Larry. Team Larry. All right. The Kieran Juniors champion. In the women's 17-18, Kieran winner. Team Kenda's Colleen Gullick. Junior points race. In the junior points race, ages 13 to 14, junior men. Junior points race, new champion, Callan Farley. The junior champion points racer in the junior 15 to 16, Andrew Lanier. And in the junior women's points race champion in ages 13 to 14, Tara McCormick. Junior pursuits. Your new champion in the junior women's 17-18, Corinne Rivera. In the junior scratch race, the men's juniors 17 to 18 scratch race champion John Tomlinson. He rides for XXX Racing Athletic Company. The scratch race for the junior women, Wolverine Sports Danielle Mullis. In the junior sprints, and there'll be a number of different sprint results depending on which day and which age. This is the ages of men, 17 to 18-year-old Colton Barrett, your new champion. Junior sprints, match sprints in the women's 17 to 18, your new champion, Shelby Eek. And in the juniors sprints, ages 15 to 16 men's, Matthew Baranowski. And in the women's 15 to 16, your junior sprint champion, Christine Barron. The 4K pursuit. This is a time trial for the men 13-14, Callan Farley. For the women 13-14, Tara McCormick is your champion. Also in the pursuit for men's 17 to 18, your new champion, Ian Moore. The team sprint, junior team sprint, that is a group of three riders that ride together. Your new champions, Eddie Zhang, Vincent Juarez, and Daniel Farina. That's in the men. The junior team sprint, new champions in the women, Corinne Rivera and Christine Barron. For the 500-meter time trial in the men's junior 13 to 14, team 5280 Slipstreams, Michael DeZau. In the women's juniors 13 to 14, 500-meter time trial, Cal Pacific Export Packers, Tara McCormick. And in the women's juniors 17 to 18, Team Kenda's Colleen Gullick. For the points race in the men's 17 to 18, your new champion, Zach Stein. That is the junior national championships. And in the scratch race for the women's junior 17-18, Team Kenda's Colleen Gullick.
All right, congratulations to all of our new junior track cycling champions. And we went out in the field there, and we had a chance to talk with some of our juniors out there racing at the Velodrome. Let's go to some of those interviews now on KILL Radio.
At the Junior Nationals track, we got Bobby Umberzacht and Tara, his mom. What happened yesterday with the heat, the flying 200, right?
Yeah, it was flying 200 for match sprints, and he's at 15 in the 15-16 category.
Okay.
And he got second by 0.04 of a second.
Oh!
To a 16-year-old.
Wow.
Top five were all 16-year-olds. He was the only 15-year-old, and he almost won the flying 200. And then they
way
went
to
match sprints. So, yeah, he did really awesome. He's flying.
So they started the match sprints, and how many heats of match sprints are they going? You're not in the finals yet.
It was all done yesterday.
Yeah. Okay, so tell us what happened. You made the cut?
Right.
Obviously.
And then in the first heat, I won.
Coach is telling you to sit down. Let's go sit down. We're on radio right here, Roach.
Right here.
Here, have a seat. Here we go. All right. So you miss it by 0.04 of a second. That's awesome.
Right, and then in the first heat, I won, and then so I was up in the next heat for a try at fourth place, but I lost that.
Right.
So then I raced for third and fourth, and I was beat in that one, too, only by a couple bike lengths, though.
All right. Good job with the race. Right on. And then this morning you just finished the qualifying scratch.
Right.
Right. Okay, and they took the top
eight.
All right. And you, how'd you do in that?
I came in second.
Okay, cool. And are they going to go to the scratch finals today?
Yep, that's tonight, and I hope to do well.
All right, good luck. Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks.
All right, we're here.
All right, that was Bobby Umberzacht at the Junior Track Nationals. We got a chance to chat with also Dan Healy at the Velodrome. Let's go to that now.
All right, we're here with Dan Healy at Junior Track Nats, and today you completed, what did you guys do this morning?
We have the individual pursuit 3K qualifying this morning.
Okay, individual pursuit, that's 3,000 meters, and you rode your qualifying. How'd you do in your qualifying?
Good, did my schedule, and qualified for the gold medal final. So.
All right, that's great. Okay, so the final's going to be, and you're going to ride, you know who you're going to ride against?
Yeah, Ian Moore.
Ian Moore, oh, local guy. Why did they put you local guys against each other? That's too bad. So, what do you think? What do you think? How's it gonna go?
Should be fun. We're pretty similar on time, so should be good. And we're good friends. So.
All right. Well, good luck to you, and good luck to Ian wherever you are, Ian, out there, and Bike Sport Radio. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you, Brad.
All right, Junior Track National Championships. Now, we also, and this is Bike Sport Radio's local Southern California bike racing, but we had to go to national championships in Kentucky. So we've got some results from that. Some local racers did really well out there. So let's go to our local results. We've got some great local results from a lot of local racers at Masters National Road Championships. Let's go to those results now.
June 28th through July 4th, we had the Masters National
Road Championships. And in the road race, we've got some local champions in the 60-plus. Ken Fuller. These are all Southern California national champions. Masters 35-plus national championship went to Mike Uncles. In the Masters 50-plus road race, new champion Keith Ketter, Amgen Giant Masters, also from Southern California. And in the road race, the Masters 55-plus road race, Wayne Statina. In the Tandem Road Nationals, we've got a couple of new Southern California champions in the men's 110-plus, Dave Prechtel and Fritz Tomasello, riding for Edge Racing. And in the Tandem Road Race, in the Mixed Man-Woman 90-plus, out of Orange County, Mark and Sherry Norton are new national champions. More local champions from Southern California, Masters National Criterium champion in the Masters 45-plus, John Walsh. In the Masters 60-plus, your Criterium champion, Ken Fuller. And in the Women's 70-plus, Patricia Baker. Also in the Time Trial, Masters 55-plus, Kent Bostick. And in the Masters 60-plus, also a local Southern California rider, Ken Fuller. All right, congratulations to all of our local Southern California Masters Road National Champions. More racing results coming at you now. Race results on July 4th, the Camp San Luis Road Race took place in San Luis Obispo. In the women's pros and category 1-2-3s, picking up 5th place, Allison Shanks. 4th place, Kahala LaGrange's Morgan Kapp. 3rd place, Kahala LaGrange Catherine Donovan. 2nd place, Marina Dovnjak. And your winner, Lauren Ellis. Lauren Ellis, that's the Camp San Luis Road Race. In the men's pro and category 1 and 2, in 8th place, Liquid Fitness's Matt Landon. 7th place going to Aaron Olson. 6th place going to Platinum Performance Cycling Team's Chris Walker. 5th place, Nitro Racing's James Gunn Wilkerson. 4th place, Liquid Fitness's Rudolph Napolitano. 3rd place, HDR, presented by Lombardi Sports' Vincent Owens. In 2nd place, Kelly Benefit Strategies, Neil Shirley, and your winner from Webcor, Alto Velo, Fabrice Dubost. Fabrice Dubost, that's the Camp San Luis Road Race on July 4th in San Luis Obispo. Also on July 5th in San Luis Obispo, the Southern California Elite State Criterium Championships took place. Got a lot of new champions there. Picking up the Women's Championship from Team Chicken Ranch in the Women's Category 3-4, that's Kimberly Turner, your new state champion. In the Women's 1, 2, and 3, your new state champion, Marina Dovnjak. In the Category 4, Men, your new state champion from G.S. Adams Avenue Bicycles, Scott Falk. Men's Category 3, State Criterium Champion, Platinum Performances, Derek Johnson. And your winner in the Elite Men's Category 1s and 2s, and I believe this is 3 weeks in a row now, he is on a roll, winning Criteriums 3 weeks in a row, Rock Racing's Rahsaan Bahati. Rahsaan Bahati. All right. The San Luis Obispo Downtown Criterium also hosted a number of other categories and races throughout the day. Junior racing, men 17 to 18, picking up 3rd place, Aqua AL2's San Diego Bicycle Club, Eric Landman. In 2nd place, Kahala LaGrange's Griffin Easter. And your winner from SC Velo, Sam Simmons. That's the junior men 17 to 18. They also hosted a junior 15-16 category in 3rd place, SC Velo's Scott Stern. 2nd place, Team Velo Sports, Kyle Torres. And your winner from SC Velo, Dominic Galenti.
in the Masters 35 at the San Luis Obispo Criterium. In third place, Ironfly Racing's Kevin Phillips. Second place, Kahala Lagrange, Aaron Gadia. And your winner from Amgen Giant Masters, Thurlow Rogers. The Masters 45 plus in third place, California Pools Racing, John Hatchett. In second place, Coates On Deck Foundation, John Nist. And your winner from Swami Cycling Club, Brett Clare. The Masters 55 at the San Luis Obispo Criterium. Third place, Fog Racing, Stan Apple. Second place going to Carlos Soto. And your winner from Central Coast Magazine, Bob Guglielmelli. The San Luis Obispo Downtown Criterium, held on July 5th.
All right, road results. That's them for the last 2 weeks. Now, we also had a chance to attend some off-road races up at Big Bear, the Big Bear Shootout. We got results coming at you here from that race now.
Race results for the Big Bear Shootout up at Bear Mountain. We had a chance to attend that event on Sunday, July 12th. That was yesterday. Now, these are preliminary results. They hadn't been finalized yet, but we'll go ahead and go over them anyway. Your winner in the Pro Women's Cross Country, Amgen's Natasha Hernde. In the Pro Men Cross Country, third place going to Miguel Valadez. Second place, Bear Valley Bikes, Romolo Forsino. And your winner in the Pro Men from Bear Valley Bikes, John Noble. John Noble, that's the Big Bear Shootout. We also have some Category 1 preliminary results as well. The juniors, junior men 17-18, your winner, Michael Suggs. In the junior men 15-16, Casey Williams from Bear Valley Bikes. And then in the elite Category 1 men ages 19-24, your winner from Coates Cyclery, Yoshio Garcia. In the Category 1 men's 25-29, your winner, Vincent Lombardi. And in the Category 1 men's 30-34, Shore Sonance's Gary Deauville. The men's 35-39 cross country Category 1 winner, Helen's Daniel Stromberg. And again, these results are preliminary only. They'll be finalized on teambigbear.com if you want to visit that website for finalized results.
All right, that was the Big Bear Shootout. Big Bear Shootout up at Bear Mountain in the Big Bear Lake area. Now, we also had a chance to interview one of the winners, the Masters 50 Plus. His winner, his name's Hugo, and we had a chance to chat with him, as well as the promoter, Tom Spiegel. We've got some interviews with him coming up right now.
So what's your name?
Freddie.
Freddie. Right. You're the winner.
My name appears as Hugo.
Hugo, that's right.
You know that my name is Freddie, or you only know me as Hugo?
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you get into traffic? Towards the end?
A little bit, but I can say I never had much of a problem. This is a course that pretty much you can do at your own pace. On the fire roads, if somebody's slower than you are, it's time to to catch up on your cardiovascular, and then when you go on the fire roads, that's where you can hammer a little bit better. It really helps to know the course over here,
Yes, knowing the course is a big plus, so yeah. I had a little trouble on the fire road downhills because the speed gets to be so high. You hit that sand, and next thing you know, you're up on the berm in the trees.
It's like, woo! Have to be real careful, and this is not the place to really win time.
On the downhill, yeah.
On the downhill.
Yeah, you're not going to win on the downhill. You could lose it on the downhill.
Yeah, and the other place where I gain a lot of distances, trying to keep momentum on the ups and downs, at least for 50 yards, try to keep up the
speed. Carry your speed, yeah. There's some good sections you can do that in with the whoopee, the gradual downhill and then a gradual uphill. And the climbs weren't that steep. They weren't that steep. There's a couple of single track climbs. There was one that I almost rode that a lot of guys were walking, a real technical single track climb, short one towards the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you ride that? Were you able to ride that?
I was able to ride it. And I was expecting it. So before I took the before I went up that one, I make sure I was on the right gear.
Right.
Because if you're not on the right gear, you're done. But I missed one spot. I missed one spot that you were coming down on a fire road and you took it left into a little mogul like this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, there's some bark there, woodwork, yeah.
I did too.
I had the foot dab. I had the dab for that.
You know, get off my bike.
Yeah.
There were two people that I just recently passed.
Right.
And they passed me again until I caught up. And
in your category? In our category?
No, not in my category.
Who got second right behind you? Who's?
Mike.
Mike did, yeah. Mike Weber. How many minutes was he back? Did you know?
I think they less than a minute.
Wow.
So he was
race.
on my back. This is
all right.
I only beat him in two races this year. He won but I was not very consistent.
Yeah.
I came in second, you know, a whole bunch of races, but many of them ninth and eighth and seventh.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my first win.
All right, good job. Congratulations. Here you go, winning the Category 2 Big Bear Shootout, men's 50 to 54. Good job. And now we're with the promoter of the Big Bear Shootout, Tom Spiegel. How's it going today, Tom?
It's going great. We're up here in Big Bear. The weather's going to be a little warm for Big Bear, about 85 degrees, but the sun's out. We've got 275 racers today, series finals for Southern California State Championship race, so we're looking good.
Nice. Yeah, it's gorgeous, actually, right here. It's not that hot right now yet at all, and a lot of riders here. Any notable riders in the pros?
You know, I'll be honest, I've been busy setting up, and I actually haven't had an opportunity to check the list. So we'll have some pros out here, and got a lot of amateurs. It's going to be a good day.
Yeah, all right. We'll see you after the race. Good job with the race, and we'll see you out there.
All right, that was Tom Spiegel, promoter of the Big Bear Shootout for Team Big Bear up in Big Bear Lake. Find out more about their races at teambigbear.com. Now, we are coming to the part of our show where we move into some real racers out in the field. We interview real racers. We had a chance to talk to several up at Big Bear. Let's go to them now.
The Big Bear Shootout. I just came across a tandem mountain bike. Now, I'm speechless because I could barely make it down the fall line on a single. And what's your name?
My name is Ed Sibby, and this is my daughter, Julian.
Ed and Julian.
Hi.
I'm Julian. And I'm Brad House with Bike Sport Radio. We do a radio program, and I am impressed on a tandem. I don't know what to say. You guys are awesome. Well, tell us about the race a little bit.
Well, unfortunately, our competition didn't show up today, so we were riding for pride today. We cleaned everything, but we caught up a little bit on lower fall line. You'll probably remember there's a couple of large rocks in about the middle of the trail there.
I rolled
off front. She stayed on the bike. We pulled it back. We pulled it right back off of the stone, jumped back on, and finished the race.
So it counts to have a backup person on the bike in case one falls off.
Emergency peddler.
I am impressed.
Now, we have cleaned that section in rides past because we've raced together about four times. Today just wasn't our day. It's pretty loose today. It's been ridden really hard. There's been no rain for months up there. And as a result, it gets real rough. Now, the snows will come. It'll improve it for the spring of next year. But by the time July, August comes around, it's pretty rough. And in November, when it's run again up here, it'll be pretty rocky. Actually, October.
Are you going to race again in November?
We'll probably race the October race up here as the state champion.
The Fall Classic. You know what? I'm going to come up to the Fall Classic, I think. I got to see you guys. I'll come up just to see you guys race a tandem. I ride a tandem, too, and I'm impressed.
This one's bought by a company out of Georgia. They build it out for you completely. I'm going to plug them because they're great. Mountain Bike Tandems. It's mtbtandems.com.
Okay.
They built this bike completely out for us, and we've been racing for 2 years. We absolutely love it.
Just under $3,000.
That's it? That's not bad at all. So you'll spend more than that on a single mountain bike.
That's correct, and it's a hardtail. Got a great front suspension. It would be nice to have full suspension on that section we were just talking about, but most of the time I don't miss the hardtail, having the hardtail, because you know on the uphill it really really helps.
Right. Now I got to ask you, there was a section in there about three-fourths of the way through the race. There was a section that had like a tree stump, about 3 foot tall tree stump with a nice ramp built up on it. But
we cleaned it.
No way.
We cleaned it.
You cleaned it? I didn't even clean it on my single bike. You cleaned it.
We cleaned it.
That is
we screamed and we cleaned it, and the guy in front of us who stepped off, who was a pro or an expert,
yeah.
I yelled for him, tandem clean that baby, and he goes, yeah!
Wow! Yeah, I couldn't even clean it.
He rolled off that, over that.
Oh, that would have been a sight to see. It's like a log ramp. You like this log ramp up over this 3-foot-tall tree, and you go over the other side, and... Oh, unbelievable. Yeah. Too bad you didn't see what happened to me. It was glorious. The guy behind me saw. I saw the guy in front of me ride right up the logs, and I'm like, I can do that. Yeah, no problem. I'm bad. I've never done it before. So I go halfway up, and my front wheel locks into the big tree, and over I go. I did a Superman.
There we go.
And I fell right off the ramp just in time for the guy behind me to ride through and say, are you okay? And I go, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah. I landed right on my pride.
Yeah. Good job with the race. All right, you guys. Yeah. Bikesportradio.us. Check it out.
I will do that.
Okay.
That was the tandem guys out there at the Team Big Bear shootout. Unbelievable on a tandem, bumpy downhill. Let's go to another interview here.
The Big Bear shootout we're at today on July 12th. And I'm here with Dan Lindberg. Dan, it looks like you only brought on gear today on your bike. Tell us about your bike and what category are you racing?
I'm racing a Cat 2 single speed, and it's a Gary Fisher rig.
Nice.
3218, and going to give it a whirl up here, see what happens.
Uh-huh. Okay, you got disc brakes, so you're ready for the downhill. It's a hardtail, single speed. And is there an age group, too? Or?
This is open.
Open,
Single speed Cat 2 is an open class, so I'll be going against some of you young guys out there.
All right.
Just go easy on this old guys.
Yeah. Well, no, you're a top rider, and you're in the health industry. What do you do? What's your? You're a
sports medicine chiropractor.
Sports medicine chiropractor.
Yes.
Okay, good. So you know what's going on out here. You know what to do and what not to do.
Well, you know how that goes. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So racing starts soon. Good.
Yes, a little warm up here, but you know, there's a nice little breeze. I pre-rode the course yesterday, and it was.
Oh, you did. Good.
It was very nice.
Good.
It was
what's
warm,
like?
But. You know, we got like
loose
in the medium course in the Cat 2. There's like 8 climbs, and it's not too loose. Surprisingly, fall line is ugly, of course, but that's always a given.
The infamous fall line. Yeah. All right, Dan. Thanks. Good luck with your race.
All right, Brad. Good luck to you too.
All right, Dan Lundgren. They have single speed categories up there at Big Bear Team Big Bear Shootout. Here's a guy, racer, real racers. His name's Nils. Go to him now. Rides for Hecker's Coastal Tree Care. Racer Nils.
My name is.
Okay, and the Big Bear Shootout. Here with Nils, green and red, and he's got green on his jersey and red red coming out of his body, blood.
Good mountain bike ride.
Mike Hecker's sponsorship, Stump Jumper. How'd you do? Where'd you fall down?
I fell down in the last rock section where everybody was having problems.
Oh!
Unfortunately, 3 people in front of me had more problems than I did until I got partway through and then decided to bounce through the rocks on my body.
Oh! Now, this is not the fall line, right? This is a different section. Okay, yeah, the fall line was cakewalk compared to this, huh?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Ever seen anything like it compared to the fall line?
Yeah, that would be Colorado Springs, the Chris Carmichael U.S. Canada Cup finals in July.
Yeah.
End of June, I guess.
End of June, okay. All right, so go wipe the blood off there. Coastal Tree Care, good job with the race.
Yeah, well, I believe I won my age group for the series. So
woohoo! Way to go. Good job, Brad House.
To the Nationals.
Bike Sport Radio. Are you going to Nationals?
No.
No?
I'm going to U.S. Cup.
The U.S. Cup, okay. Where's the U.S. Cup?
Nationals.
No.
Where's the U.S. Cup? Is that in Colorado or?
Las Vegas, the 26th of September.
Okay.
It's the East Coast, West Coast, Kenda Specialized Cup consolidation race.
Great, all right.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that. You'll be on the radio on Bike Sport Radio. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Bike Sport Radio. I'm here with James Riley now. One of my teammates. Okay, so tell us about your race.
Well, Brad, you took off really fast. I thought you were going to die, but you maintained. A few guys passed it, but you maintained, and I couldn't reel you back in. You were gone the whole time. I watched you for a while, but you did a good race. Couldn't catch you. The altitude was tough here, very tough.
What did you think of the fall line compared to whatever you call a second downhill?
Well, Fern. Well, there was only one part that was really nasty, and guy stopped right in front of me, so I couldn't. I couldn't even try. So
yeah,
how'd you
do it?
How'd you like that?
Lucky. I had never seen anything like that. The fall line was a piece of cake compared to Fern. I went down Fern, and I was like, oh my God, my back was hurting, my neck was hurting, everything.
Well, I know at this time of year it's going to be sandy, and I put on a bigger tire that's good in the sand, and it makes a huge difference in control. So.
Yeah, I'm shocked these bikes hold up to what we do with them. Unbelievable out here. The Big Bear shootout.
Control I had, power I didn't, but it was a great race, and I'm glad it's over.
All right, James Riley, Bike Sport Radio. Thanks. Hey, this is Scott DeLaurentis. I'm here with Scott DeLaurentis, Dino, and I haven't seen you in years, so what are you doing up here?
I'm heading to the Nationals. I made it. I qualified at Sagebrush.
Sweet!
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Category? What?
Sport.
Sport?
Beginner, 50+.
50+. Okay, same age. I'm 50 also.
Yeah, so got a couple of days
off. Colorado?
Yeah,
Colorado.
Right.
When is that?
It's actually our race is on the 17th, Friday the 17th.
Okay.
And then we're staying, Rob, the guy I'm riding with, he's racing pro on Saturday. And
right.
We're doing the Super D on Sunday.
Right.
And then coming back.
Oh, that'll be fun.
God, I haven't seen you in years. From I used to do your races down in Torrance. Those are great.
Yeah, we still have them in Torrance. We have Entradero Park. We've got Ken Molloy Park, PV, the PV course.
Why don't you come down to San Diego and do some? Because there's zero cross.
I know. You guys need more cross. You need more cross racing down there. And I don't know. Adams Avenue's trying to put something together. And I'm actually working
with the promoter I'm working with Racers and Chasers.
Racers and Chasers. Okay.
Yeah, Robert Herber.
I know Robert Herber.
Yeah, he's trying to put together. He has one cross race now.
What do you need? What kind of help do you need? I'd be happy to help.
Organization.
You. Right on.
So, man.
Cool.
Fucking nice. I didn't get to see you.
Cool. Yeah, we're on internet radio here. So, right on. All right, Dino. So, what are you doing with your business? Are you in? Are you in the bike industry?
Kind of. No, I'm actually a fitness trainer out at the Naval Base San Diego. So I do spinning, boot camp, personal training,
cool.
Everything.
Cool.
And I just taught yesterday 90 minutes.
You're with the Navy then, or do they?
Well,
are you a contractor?
No, I'm an MWR employee.
Okay.
Morale and recreation.
Yeah.
So I got hired on to work at the gym as a trainer.
Do you know Mark Campino? You work with him on the Storm the Beach at the Marine Base, Camp Pendleton?
No.
Okay.
I'm down at 32nd Street, but I work with all the people from the Navy. And I'm trying to get more racing down there.
Okay, Pendleton's Marines?
Yeah, Marine.
Okay, sorry. You guys don't talk to each other. Mark Campino is good. He does a race at the Camp Base.
I did that one time, Storm the Beach.
Storm the Beach, yeah.
It's such a
sandy. It's hard.
But yeah, I'm retired Air Force, so.
Okay, cool. Robert Herber. All right, we'll be in touch.
Yeah,
all
thank right. you very
Brad
much.
House Bike Sport Radio. You'll be on the air. Dino?
Cool.
And Mellow Johnny's Bike Shop. That's Lance's shop in Texas, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, I'm here with, what's your name?
And my name's Al.
Al, and you're from?
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. Did you just come out last night or just for this race? Or?
Yes, actually I did.
You know. All right.
One promotional tour.
Promotional tour. So what category are you racing today? How do you start?
I started in 11-19, Cat 3.
Okay. Yeah. Are there age breaks now, too? There's age breaks there.
Yeah. 30 right. to 34.
30 to 34.
Even though I look much younger, but still.
Yeah.
And you've got a GT Marathon?
Marathon. Is that the iDrive?
Yeah, it's the iDrive.
I had one of those. I loved it. And it just got so old.
It's the rare green edition. So.
I see. Lime green. Cool. You got gears, at least. There's some guys out here with single speeds,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
They're crazy.
All right.
Well, good luck with your race today.
Oh, thank you so much.
Bike Sport Radio, Brad Al.
Okay, that was our Real Racers interviews in the field. You're here at Bike Sport Radio. Let's go to upcoming events now. Upcoming events. The LA Velodrome continues racing on August 8th and 9th. That's Saturday and Sunday. LA Velodrome Championships. Those are Elite Nationals qualifiers, August 8th and 9th. Visit lavelodrome.org for further details on those qualifying races. Again, August 8th and 9th. In road racing on July 19th, coming up, the Ontario Grand Prix. This is event number 4 in a series of races, the Ontario Grand Prix, promoted by Pacific Sunset Velo. Register at SoCalReg.com for the upcoming Ontario Grand Prix on July 19th. Coming up in July, on July 26th, the Masters Cycle League Finals will be held in conjunction with the San Marcos Criterium. That's Sunday, July 26th, racing for all categories, including junior men, junior women, a kids race, and the Masters Cycle League Series Finals. All awards will be given out for the winning teams, top six teams at the Masters Cycle League at the San Marcos Criterium on Sunday, July 26th. Got to jump in here a second. The Masters Cycle League Series Finals, it's a series of six races promoting the team concept for those 35 and over. You got to see this event or come to it, encourage the riders and everything. Team Shoah is leading right now, Shoah Sonants, and they've got a $1,200 cash prize list to the top six teams that will be awarded at the MCL Finals on July 26th. That's promoted by Rancho's Cycling Club. Visit ranchoscycling.org for full details on the San Marcos Criterium and for further details on the Masters Cycle League and find out if Team Shoah is going to hold their lead. Visit masterscycleleague.com. For off-road racing, coming up in July, we've got Rim Nordic Mountain Bike Racing, July 25th, Super D Racing, that's Super D, and also July 26th, Rim Nordic Cross Country Mountain Biking, Rim Nordic Mountain Bike Racing 2009. Visit rimnordic.com for all details on how to register for these events. Again, July 26th, Cross Country Racing at Rim Nordic, and July 25th, Super D at Rim Nordic. Then, coming up at the Stump Grinder Dirt Club, the Summer Series continues. Series race number 2, July 25th and 26th. That's in the Santa Ynez Valley. And that is the Stump Grinder Dirt Club Summer Series, brought to you by Hecker's Coastal Tree Care and Kenda. This is race number 2 in a 5-race series, July 25th and 26th. There'll be downhill racing as well as cross-country mountain biking at the Stump Grinder Dirt Club Summer Series. For full details on that, visit ridesb.com.
Bike racing, the world's toughest sport. Imagine listening to the radio on Monday to hear the weekend's race news, or having a chance to call in and chat with an expert. Bike racing, the world's toughest sport. Imagine listening to the radio on Monday to hear the weekend's race news, or having a chance to call in and chat with an expert about our sport. Well, imagine no more. We are Bike Sport Radio. Tune in to KILL Radio for reports on the weekend's local race action and results. Hear how local clubs or teams are doing, or call in and chat with a guest speaker about the sport or some of its many products used. We cover road, mountain bike, cyclocross, and track cycling in Southern California and are giving our fast-growing sport yet another media boost. Our studio is big enough for guests, and we have hosted a few notable ones. If you would like to be an in-studio guest, contact us. You can listen to Bike Sport Radio live or listen to an archive show at radioforall.net. Please donate at any level to us through the Kill Radio online link at www.killradio.org or support Bike Sport Radio by linking us to your websites. Thanks for listening to Bike Sport Radio.
A promotion there of Bike Sport Radio. Check us out at bikesportradio.us. Also, if you like what we're doing here at Kill Radio, visit killradio.org and donate to us online through PayPal. Kill Radio, any amount will do. I know times are tough right now, but that means it's tough for us. We are listener-supported. We're non-profit as well, and we need everybody's help at Kill Radio right here. So this comes to our section of the program where we go to our special guest today. Let me mic up our guest microphone here. And in the studio, we've got Rick Scott of Great Scott Productions. Rick's company is a public relations, marketing, and management company for the media. So how you doing today, Rick?
Excellent, Brad. Thank you. Thank you for having me on Bike Sport Radio.
All right.
Beautiful day you've got here in the studio. Yeah, everybody always... David Letterman is known for having his studio ridiculously cold. All the guests always talk about it being 50 and 60 degrees, and Brad, you go the complete opposite. It's probably 95 degrees here in the studio today.
I think you're being generous. Rick's being generous there, all our listeners. It might be three digits today. We have no air conditioning here. We're nonprofit at Kill Radio. We have a number of guests. We talk about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes, and what the sport needs right now is some media and a lot more attention. It can always use more attention. We are doing this with Kill Radio, and we brought you in to give you a little publicity here and a little media action. So you're interested in cycling, although your business deals with non-cycling events. And how did you get interested in cycling first?
Oh, gosh. That goes back to 1983. I was originally an ice hockey player, and I'm small.
Cross training.
Yeah, right. 5'5", 131 or 2 pounds, and getting ready to play college ice hockey with the big boys who are 6 foot, 200 pounders. And a couple of my friends were bike racers, and they took me, I'm from just outside of Philadelphia, and they took me up to the Velodrome in Trexler Town. And I got to look at guys like Mark Gorski and Nelson Vales, and who were Olympians in 84, medal winners, as a matter of fact. And I just looked at their legs, and I was just blown away. And of course, everybody knew the story of Eric Heiden in 1990.
Yes.
Many people who have been skaters, speed skaters in particular, like Eric Heiden, also rode bikes to train. So it is, as you just said, cross-training. So for me, I started to ride to just get stronger on my skates, so that way I wasn't getting knocked around so much.
Right. I know you're no Nelson Vales, though, and I'm glad you had the same heroes I did, Eric Heiden, Nelson Vales. I remember seeing Nelson in that infamous movie. Was it Quicksilver, I think, in the American Flyers, and Nelson Vales goes flying by as a New York bike messenger and cracks a big smile, and you see these big, bright, white teeth and these monstrous thighs of Nelson Vales. So.
Don't be mistaken. I have never ridden on the track. Never. And I actually have I am proud to work with two-time world champion on the track, Sarah Hammer, who was a U.S. Olympian. And she offered me, because we're similar in size, so she offered me the use of her bike at the Home Depot Center. But yours truly here chickened out, at least thus far.
Right. You don't have any brakes out there on the
track. No brakes, no gears, and there are no hills. So, you know, I'm a little guy. I prefer the hills.
Right. Yeah. The track. Track's a great spectator sport. I mean, I tell you, you can go out there and you can watch the whole race just unfold before your eyes. So tactics and everything. It's incredible. So.
Absolutely.
So you had some influence there for some of these notables. You picked up bike racing. Did you already start your public relations company, or were you already doing this then before you started bike riding?
Well, for me, originally, I came through the music industry, music and entertainment industry. In fact, my company itself, which was launched over 18 years ago, is primarily music and entertainment industry. At least we were launched that way. And about 6 years ago, I just decided it would make sense to work with my other passion. Music and entertainment is one passion, and my other passion, I've always been an athlete. And cycling in particular has been my sport. As I said, I've been riding and racing for over 25 years at one level or another. And so was fortunate enough to go on a long ride in the Santa Monica Mountains with Dotsie Bausch, Dotsie Cowden at the time, and she was a seven-time member of the U.S. national team and raced 3 years with T-Mobile and Colavita for a number of years. And she's racing with Kiwi team right now, team from New Zealand, Jazz Apple. And so Dotsie and I spent a long time climbing Yerba Buena together and just talked about marketing and PR, so we followed up with a dinner after that, and it just made sense because we sat down at the dinner and we were talking about how to possibly work with and market a female athlete. And as we were getting ready to leave, we were wrapping up, she said, "Well, there's one thing that will probably come out I think you should know," and that was, "I nearly died from an eating disorder." And I said, "Sit back down, Sit back down.
Wow.
This is the hook. Everybody knows Lance Armstrong initially. It wasn't the Tour de France wins. It was beating cancer. It was that story that everybody could relate to in some way, shape, or form. People can relate to Lance Armstrong and cancer. And Dazzy told me her story, and I was just captivated. And I knew that that would be the angle to take out to the public, her disclosing her eating disorder. And it was during her recovery that she learned how to ride a bike and discovered her passion for the sport. And that's something that people can relate to.
Wow, so cool. So you got your first cycling client right there. Lo and behold, just out of a bike ride.
I always say you never know who's going to show up on the ride.
Yeah.
The funny thing is I, in this town, living in L.A. and everything, I don't go anywhere. I don't go to the supermarket without my business cards. But the one time I'm without my business cards are on bike rides.
Yeah, well, it's like the golf course, I guess. You got to be ready at all times. You go out on the golf course, you conduct business. You go out to dinner, you conduct business. And that's the life of a public relations man, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
How about some of your musicians? Tell us about a couple of your notable musicians or artists.
Gosh, I spent 9 years, I'm proud to say, working with the legendary Earth, Wind, and Fire, and was part of them getting inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I helped pioneer the Friday morning concert series on the Today Show on NBC. We were the first act to ever play the Friday morning concert series, and that began because I called the booker and I said, I've got a 14-piece band here, and they have a postage-size stamp stage in NBC, and they said, you know, we've been toying with this idea of doing something outside on Rockefeller Plaza. Do you think the guys will be interested? And I had to sell them on why it would be great to do national TV, a 14-piece band, in the morning, and with a call time of 5 a.m. to be able to play and sing live. And these are musicians.
Yeah, musicians at 5 a.m. That doesn't seem like a good mix, but you pulled it off, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. We did the show three times. Booked them on The Tonight Show, which was, I couldn't believe it. I mean, a legendary act that won Grammys and sold 25 million, 30 million records throughout the world. They had never been on The Tonight Show, and it was my first booking with them. We did Oprah. We've done all that stuff.
Wow.
Also worked with Rick James. I've worked with the American Idol brand. Proud to have worked with a lot of stars in the contemporary jazz world and legends in music and entertainment.
Nice. Great Scott, I have to say. Yeah, what a great name for a public relations company. Great Scott Productions. So how is cycling? We're Bike Sport Radio here. By the way, the studio number is 213-252-0998 if you'd like to talk to Rick. And I'm Brad House with Bike Sport Radio, 213-252-0998. We are talking about bikes, and let's move back to the bike topic now. How is cycling doing, in your opinion, in the public's view right now?
Ah, you picked the hardest question of the day. Well, let me also tell you this. And there goes the phone. I'm also proud to have been working with Amateur Tour of California for the last three-plus years now. And I think that that's a great example. The Tour of California has showcase the state with the best riders in the world. The riders make themselves available. You can, before the race, you can meet the riders, you can approach them. And I can't tell you how many, which is funny, working in this town with the Hollywood celebrities and publicists and managers and everything like that, and how many of them said, oh, I want to meet George Hincapie. How can you make that happen?
Yeah.
And I said, all you have to do, it's so easy. This is not like music and entertainment. All you have to do is go to the team bus after the stage. And I watch people, their dreams come true, and people who have met and worked with some of the biggest celebrities in entertainment just stand in awe as they go and they stand outside a team bus waiting to see George or Lance or any of the others out there.
Right. Yeah, Amgen Tour California has done wonders for cycling in Southern California, at least. We've got a caller on the phone for you right now. Let's go to the caller right now, Rick. Hold on a second.
Go ahead and talk. Hello, and thank you for calling.
Hey, Rick.
Who's this?
Hi, Kevin Smith, InsideCycling.tv. How are you?
Hey, Kevin. How are you?
Good. Hey, we've just launched this site, and we're all related to cycling, and wanted to get your top three tips of promoting cycling in the business community.
Well, Kevin, as you know, a year ago I worked with a site somewhat similar to what you guys have done
with your new site. It was called Cyclist Village and cyclistvillage.tv, and it was a social networking site specifically for cyclists, as well as video clips, professionally produced, which is, I know that's what you do. You and I did meet in the Team Columbia High Road at the time, press conference the day before the Tour of California started earlier this year. And I know you do quality work. So I was involved with helping launch the Cyclist Village last year. And I think you pretty much have to do a lot of the same thing. You got to do and what Brad is doing here with Bike Sport Radio, and that's you cycling is such an underground culture. It's a culture, as you know. It's a lifestyle. People live and breathe this. We're not always the most exciting people in the room because we the way we live and the way we eat and go to bed, at least some of us try to get some sleep and live a good, clean life. But it's a lifestyle. It's a culture. And so you have to reach the people where they are. You got to be visible at races. You got to be visible where they are. Cyclists are big on like Facebook and Twitter, and I know you do that as well. I think you absolutely have to work the technology to your advantage and spread it grassroots.
Hey, what about with the economy the way it is? I mean, are you finding it harder from your feedback with teams and just even the local? Because, I mean, that's one of our pushes is to get local recognition for riders, clubs, teams. And I really appreciate what you guys are doing there at Kill Radio to get the cycling, local cycling community more publicity.
I think absolutely budget concerns are a real issue for this sport. In recent days, we just heard that the Tour of Missouri is on the ropes at the moment, and that's really tough. I have a lot of friends that work on that race because they also work with the Amgen Tour of California, and I know how long they've been working on setting this thing up for the 2009 race, and here we are 2 months away, and now it's not sure if it's going to happen because of a $1.5 million budget freeze through the government. But I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. The government owns the Tour of Missouri, basically, whereas Amgen Tour of California is owned by AEG with Amgen as a title sponsor. Tour of Missouri, that's the Missouri government that owns that, and that's tough. If they put a hold on that, they were going to have seven Tour de France teams, seven Pro Tour teams coming over to race in September, and that's huge for the sport. We already lost, at least for the moment, the Tour of Georgia. We don't know if that's going to come back in 2010 or not. There was three Grand Tours in America, Tour of California, Tour of Georgia, and the Tour of Missouri, and right now we might only be left with one. So let's hope that they get it together and Missouri realizes that they're going to attract all kinds of tourism dollars by holding this race in September.
Well, thanks, Rick. I appreciate your info, and keep up the great work, and keep it up over there at Kill Radio.
Thank you, and thanks for the call, Kevin.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. So cycling, the thing about cycling is that these big events that are held on the streets draws people and crowds and promotes tourism and business, brings people into town, doesn't crowd them into a stadium in the baseball field. It crowds them all over the town everywhere, lining the course, and businesses can be subjected to, you know, all these new potential customers and everything. So it's got to be good for the economy to have events out on the road, right?
Oh, absolutely. As I said, I'm a Philly boy originally. So in 1984, I was at the first ever U.S. Pro Course race on the streets of Philadelphia. And gosh, people didn't know what they were looking at. Some 100,000 people came out on the streets to watch Eric Heiden win that race. I was a college student at the time. And Philadelphia, just this last month, just over a month ago, they just celebrated their 25th anniversary of the race. But that race almost did not happen. There was, again, the city of Philadelphia, due to budget issues, had to pull all funding from public events such as the bike race and parades and other events that that go on in the city. So it wasn't just targeting bike racing, for instance. But you know, when you got to pay your city employees or you got to stage a bike race, I mean, what do you think they're going to choose?
Right.
So it was a last minute reprieve. Thankfully, a couple sponsors stepped up and saved that race. But the promoter, actually, Dave Chawner, had contacted me and said, "Rick, we know how passionate you are about the race, and you get it, and you know what we're about. And anything you can do to help us find sponsors in the last 2-3 months before." And so I opened my database and tried to get some sponsors to get some dollars for them. And we came close, but as I said, thankfully they were able to pull it together last minute, and it was a great race. And once again, about 300,000 or 400,000 people were on the streets watching the race. It does take over the entire city. It's a 14.6-mile loop, and people line the course all throughout. And so, yeah, it was interesting that there was – the promoters were a million or so short financially, but when they hold the race, they say the impact is something like – I'm forgetting the numbers now, but it's something like it generates between $15 and $30 million for the city by holding it. So you figure if you – you know, it's a proverbial spend a little bit to make – a lot.
Right. You need some bean counters out there to tell these municipalities and to calculate the return on their investment. That, yeah, you might spend, you know, $1 million in security fees or whatever, but the revenue and the residual income from just the tourism is awesome. So.
Absolutely, and you see it on a completely different subject. You see it happening right now in the city of Los Angeles with the tribute that was held last week with Michael Jackson, because the city was charged about $1.4 million in holding that, and the city wants to now study and say, what is the economic impact of holding that?
Right.
If we're going to put money into this, we need to know that it generates, right, or somebody else is going to have to pay that money.
The fact that they want to study it at all kind of might even indicate to me that they must have made some money. So,
absolutely.
All right. So, sports in general, things go on in sports. People have opinions about sports and everything. There's advantages to sports. There's disadvantages sometimes. There's people that compete unscrupulously and use enhancements. What do you think about some of the drug scandals that are going on in pro sports, particularly bike racing now? It's evaded us. Have they helped or hurt the sport?
Brad, you know, one of my responsibilities with the Amgen Tour of California is that I write a weekly column called The Weekly Wrap. They went,
yes,
after this year's tour, and they named it Rick Scott's Weekly Wrap. If you go to AmgenTourCalifornia.com,
yeah,
you can see Rick
Scott. It's a good
Scott
read. I get it.
Thank you. You can see it up there, and I always call it my Disneyland version of the sport, because I'm not allowed to write about doping in any way at all. And so it's always interesting. It's made such headlines with the doping in the sport, but yet I don't cover it in what I do. Look, I watched the LA media over the last few weeks anticipate the return of Manny Ramirez, LA Dodgers star.
Yeah.
And look, I'm sorry. That's doping. He is wrong. He's apologized. He hasn't apologized for what. But the media has made him out. It was like a hero's return. I'm told, and I haven't been in Italy, but I'm told it was kind of that way with Ivan Basso and his return to the support to the sport. That Basso's return, he was made out like a hero. They're welcoming back a hero. Look, I mean, Basso says he didn't do it. He intended to do it. Either way, it was wrong, and he served his time and deserves a new start, and I'm glad he's gotten that. I do think overall it's obviously any negative headlines are bad for the sport.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. I don't know. My opinion is that I don't know. I've heard the story or the rumor that bad press is better than no press. You may not agree with me, but...
Yeah, some people say as long as they spell your name right, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's ways to go about this and stuff. Maybe, you know, like maybe if this has legitimatized our sport to the level of other professional sports, which could be good or bad. But
I know you mentioned that, and I'll tell you this, though. What hurts me is I have a number of friends who are long-time racers, long-time cyclists, and they stopped watching the sport a couple years ago. They won't watch professional. They ride hours and hours every day. They still buy the latest gear. Every year, every season, they go out and they buy a new bike and all the equipment, but they will not watch professional cycling. They feel it's almost to the level of if you will, professional wrestling, where it's fake. It's not real. What you're seeing is not credible.
Right, yeah.
That's damaging.
Yeah, that's a shame. We've got another caller on the line. Hold on. Let me get you a caller here, Rick.
Hello, and thank you for calling. Who am I talking to?
Hey, this is Cynthia Liu.
Hello, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. Well, I just had a quick question. I'm wondering, what tips would you have for somebody who wants to put together their own personal PR plan, whether to secure sponsorships or a new team or, I mean, make a bigger splash beyond cycling, kind of like what Jockey does?
Sorry.
Without giving away trade secrets. Okay.
Yeah, Brad had a comment there. Cynthia, I always think, you know, Brad was just talking about one of the negatives of this sport in particular, whatever. And sometimes people, they call PR people spin doctors or whatever. I think what it is, it's always about putting the best foot forward. So in your case, it's a matter of looking at what makes you unique. That's what I always do. I always look at any client that comes to me, I always think about what makes you unique, what makes you different than any other artist or athlete or model or entertainer or bike racer that's out there. And that's where you start. And like when I was telling the story about Dotsie, I knew that her personal story would touch others, it would inspire others, and I knew it made her unique. I knew it made her stand out amongst the hundreds of female pro cyclists that are out there, as well as male cyclists. And so you got to capitalize on what makes you special, what makes you unique, and focus on that. Build your campaign around that. I also believe you got to be honest, too. But you got to stress the positives, emphasize your strengths, and, you know, from the basic tools, because I anticipate your next question being... What should I put in it? What should I put in my proposal? A bio, a headshot, press release if you have any media. I heard, do you have a website? Do you have a personal website?
Yep.
Okay. You should have all those things up there. It should be current. I know you as one of my Facebook friends. I'm happy to talk to you for the first time. And I think you absolutely have to work Facebook and Twitter. I think that's one of the positive things that this sport is doing. When you can go on each day and hear directly from Lance or hear from Levi or Bradley Wiggins or whatever, I think you should absolutely use those tools. You got to cultivate, again, as I was saying before to Kevin, the last caller, you got to work it on the grassroots. And so the grassroots is the streets, but it's also, I think, through technology.
Right. Okay.
Does that answer your question? Does that help?
Yeah, absolutely. I just, that's it.
Do you have any press clippings or tear sheets or anything like that?
No, that's a good point. A tear sheet or thing of that nature.
Sometimes, you know, some people. I don't know if you're a model or whatever, but sometimes, you know, they talk about photographers or models working for free, if you will, because it helps you build your book. So, yeah, if you can get some tear sheets that you can put in there, again, that helps legitimize you. Because if somebody could say, oh, here she is in Venice Magazine, or here she is in the Los Angeles Times, or here she is in People Magazine.
Right.
All those things help.
Okay, and a tear sheet is simply evidence of something, like me being...
Well, tear sheet is cutting out the article from the LA Times today. Like, if there's a story on you in the LA Times today, there's your tear sheet.
Got it.
And
okay.
If you go on, if you're lucky enough to be a guest on Bike Sport Radio, put it on your resume.
Come on down,
okay.
Cynthia, sometime.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
You have a follow-up?
I did. I just lost it. So that, I guess that's it. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for calling, Cynthia. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Cynthia Liu. She raced the San Pedro Grand Prix 2 years ago, and I got a nice photo of her winning the, we did a drawing with one of our cruiser bike sponsors, Nerve Sports sponsored the race with a cruiser bike, and we had a drawing, and she won it. And I'll have to get a hold of her and get her that picture, nice picture of her on the cruiser bike by Nerve Cycles. So moving along, what can we do to continue to build the popularity and the legitimacy of our sport as a real competitive pro sport? I want to elevate our sport to the level of baseball, basketball, football. We're here at Kill Radio. We're the underdogs. We're supporting the underdogs, damn it, and we are going to be as good as baseball. What do we do?
I'd love to see it. The dollars that are in baseball are just insane.
It's unfair.
Yeah, absolutely. I happen to just be in awe of, you know, when you look at athletes that are competing in the Tour de France, which were on the rest day today. Thank God they give them a rest day after 9 days of hammering themselves into the ground. It's a beautiful sport. There's a lot of tradition. There's a lot of culture, as I was saying earlier. It's rich with history. I mean, this is the 96th Tour de France that's on right now. It's older than some of the other professional sports that are out there. Like you mentioned, the big four, what I always talk about, baseball, football, basketball, and hockey. And the amazing thing is that you can actually buy a lot of the same equipment that the pros use in your local bike shops. You can get up close and personal by going to these races, and you can actually, as I said, you can stand outside the tour bus and you can meet pretty much your idol, anybody in this sport. I think I was just mentioning, Brad, when you stepped away for a second, I was telling Cynthia, Facebook and Twitter, I am, you know, I keep saying that on this call, on this show, but I'm impressed with, like, Lance in particular took a lead in really communicating directly with his fans. And
I'm a fan of Lance on Facebook. Yeah, that's
absolutely
awesome.
Absolutely. And there's so many...
he's twittering while his heart rate's still up, I think, from the stage. You know? Bike Sport Radio's on Facebook, too, by the way. BikeSportRadio.us. Go join us at Facebook.
Absolutely. And there are so many athletes, and they're communicating directly with us. There are less media outlets out there. That's a danger for everything that's out there, where there are less ad pages. So there are less pages in, for instance, the LA Times or in People Magazine or Rolling Stone or Entertainment Weekly, etc. But here you can get an athlete or an entertainer communicating in their own words, telling their own story. It's an unedited view of what's going on and letting people in on what's happening out there. And I think that the sport has been doing a great job of communicating that way. I think that helps grow the sport. I think that by all means having sponsors step up and realizing the audience that's out there, the lifestyle that they can tap into, the healthy living, the clean living, despite a few black marks here and there, this is a clean, healthy sport.
Very difficult. There's no other sport where you go out and you compete for, you know, 2 or 3 hours at a time in a long road race without a timeout, you know, or a halftime or a quarterly break or any of that stuff. No, you don't get that. The races are so tough, they give you food and water while you're competing. Come on. You know, and I think bike racing, I think today is probably bigger in the U.S. than I think it's ever been, maybe. It's doing pretty well, maybe in the late 1800s, but, you know, with Major Taylor in the early history, but it's doing pretty well.
It's bike racing. It's also, I always just give respect to anybody that's out there riding a bike. And I think the idea is, let's just get more people out riding a bike. I mean, if they race, cool, that's always an option for you. I remember a guy who used to mentor me, coach me a number of years ago, Eddie Monnier, say, you know, he races because he loves to ride. He races because he loves to ride. So, I mean, look, I know a number of people out there who really don't like training all that much, but they race and they're good at it. But I mean, for me, I've always loved to ride my bike, and I don't race as much as I used to. I've been injured a number of times, and I just love riding too much and training that I don't want to miss time because somebody crashed me out in a race.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of activism going on with bicycling as far as commuters and facilities and just being active in your local municipalities, encouraging cycling for getting to work, encouraging cycling to school, getting youth involved. So it's rounding itself out to a whole society out there, and I think that's all part of the big picture. What do you think, Rick?
Brad, I know you have been a leader in that. I know you have stepped up, especially with the donut ride. you have been a vocal person with that as far as speaking between the police, kind of being a liaison between the police who don't want the cyclist to be out of control.
Or don't understand.
Right.
Most of the time, it's just a lack of understanding, really.
And also the neighborhood. And again, what I do is public relations. Public relations. So work with the public in a positive way.
Right.
We all are aware of the incident that happened a year ago on Mandeville Canyon. And there were actually a couple incidents.
Yeah.
One that led to serious injuries. But again, that's public relations. And look, you can't help it that there's going to be an ignorant person out there behind the wheel or whatever. But the cyclists can do their part to try to foster better relations with the neighborhood. One of my dear friends, who I work with over at AEG in the Amgen Tour of California, just asked me the other day. He was telling me how he was riding, driving to work past Griffith Park, and he saw a small group of cyclists, and they took both lanes. And so it's only like 12 guys in a pack, but they were on both lanes. And my friend asked me, he said, shouldn't they just be in one lane?
Were they preparing to make a left turn or something?
No, they were just going straight.
Okay.
And get to the right. I mean, these are basic things that we can do to foster better relations with the community.
Right. Yeah, if you got two lanes there, cyclists, you probably only need one if you're a small group of 12 or so, unless you're preparing for a left turn and then try to get over and make your left turn as quickly as possible. So how do we contact you? We want to hire Great Scott Productions to do our great media and our PR campaign. How do we contact you?
You can always – well, first of all, information about what I do is available on my website, which is greatscottpr.com, GREATSCOTTPR.com. There is actually a section there called About GSP, which has information about my background and clients. I mentioned some of my clients here today in cycling and entertainment. There are a lot more that are up there. There's also an email option. You can email me there. You can also you can look me up on Facebook.
Right.
Just send me a friend request, Rick Scott. I'm also on Twitter at twitter.com/greatscottpr. I think if you want to go directly to find me on Facebook, you can go to facebook.com/rick.scott, S-C-O-T-T.
Okay, cool. greatscottpr.com. All right. Anything you want to add, Rick?
Brad, I really appreciate you having me, and thank you for spreading the word and doing what you do I almost said weekly radio show. We're going to hope that you go weekly.
You know, if there were two of me, I would. But hey, I don't get paid for this. This is a nonprofit.
I'm going to help you out right now. Brad is desperately in need of an intern. Okay, he's looking for an intern to come and help him and produce this show. So you can email him, find him at Facebook,
bhornet@earthlink.net or bikesportradio.us.
You can work in cycling and broadcasting. I mean, look.
An engineering intern. Somebody that's good with the board and good with the mic and good with all the little doodads here in the studio.
Absolutely. So people, especially at the local schools, USC, UCLA, talk to your friends. I know a number of you are cyclists, and even if you're not a cyclist, if you know nothing about the sport, just get out there and here's a chance to work with a radio show that's being heard all around the world.
Right. KillRadio.org. All right. Thanks for coming, Rick.
Thank you, Brad. Thanks for having me.
All right, Rick Scott, Great Scott Productions. So this comes to our conclusion of the show. We usually promote a little tip for bike racers, bike riders, motorists, the general public. We are trying to educate everybody as well as promote the sport as a legitimate sport. So today's topic is going to cover the door zone. What is the door zone? The door zone, that's the area just to the left of parked cars. When you ride next to parked cars down a street, take a look inside the car and think about, what happens if that person opens their door? Am I going to hit that door? Well, I tell you, I will never be doored. Cyclists actually have a saying for this now because it happens so often. It's called getting doored. And I'm never going to get doored because I ride just outside of the door zone. Somebody can fling their door open all day long, and I'm going to miss it because I'm 3 feet or more to the left of that parked car. And quite often, drivers are not paying attention, and they just fling their doors open without even looking. So it's called getting doored. So stay out of the door zone. And remember, when you're out there, you are driving your bike just like a car. And keep your head up, motorists. Look before you open your door. And I'm Brad House with Bike Sport Radio. and we'll see you next time.